Ascensionist podcast with Immortal Man UK and myself, the Ascensionist. Hello and welcome to episode number 4 of the Golden Age Ascensionist podcast. We've got a rather packed hour ahead of us this episode, but there's a couple of announcements I need to get out of the way first. And first of all, I'd ask you to disregard the opening introduction. Unfortunately, Immortal Man UK cannot be with us this episode, but he sends his apologies and he wishes he could be here for this episode because it's going to be an interesting episode. A lot of topics that he'd be interested in covering with me, and personally I think podcasting is better with more than one person, but I think I can handle it today. If I feel I can't, I'll not be doing it myself again. I'll wait for a murder man to come here to give me a hand. But I think I've got it alright. I think I can manage it. But unfortunately, he's in London at the moment at an expedition, and he'll not be back till next week. But as I said, he sends his apologies, and I've got his message out there now, so I can sort of relax and continue on. But before we do, we've got another announcement to make. Anybody who watches my podcast, or not watches my podcast, anybody who follows my blog on theascensionistblog.wordpress.com will know that we're now moving away from that of the style of a topical show. We're moving more towards a magazine style show, and basically that just gives us a little bit more flexibility and a wee bit more time to ourselves from researching one topic in depth for one episode, and we simply just don't have the time, so it stops us being anchored down to that. Plus it also lets us cover many different topics in one episode. It allows to discuss the alternative news and relevant topics, mysteries, ufology and the paranormal, fringe science, spirituality, etc. Things like that. Anything that a podcast of this genre covers will pretty much covering it, I would think, all being well. But that's not to say there won't be some episodes that won't be dedicated to one such topic. I mean, we've got one coming up in August, I think. Yeah, we do, and it'll centre on the topic of UFOs and the spiritual message and meaning behind ufology. And we've got a very special guest who's agreed to come on to the podcast with us. I'll not give it away just too much just yet. I think I'll hold off for that just for a wee bit yet. It's going to be exciting, and I can't wait personally myself to get that done. And that's basically all the announcements that I have before we get stuck into it. So what do we have coming up this episode? Well, over the next hour we will be covering the alternative news bulletins, some of the news that you may have missed or overlooked on the interwebs. We'll bring that straight out to you in brief. Also covering in brief the solar system collision theory. Dr. Jim McKenney, or astrophysicist Jim McKenney, sparked controversy by a video appearing on YouTube in February of the theory that the mini solar system was going to be on a collision course with ours. As I said, we'll be touching that in brief. There's not really much to say on it, to be honest. It's old news, but I think it's important to get it out of the way, just in case people haven't heard about it yet. Then we have an update of current solar events and events around the world. Some of the news that the mainstream media won't cover. We'll get that out to you as well. Then we'll be touching on the Boston bombings. I think it'll be the bulk of our podcast this episode. Quite controversial. Was the Boston bombings an inside job? Was it a false flag? We'll be touching on some of the evidence a little bit later on. Then after that we'll have a book review, UFOs and the Extraterrestrial Message. An interesting book. If you don't have it, suggest that you get out and buy it. Try not to buy off Amazon or a big corporation. Try and support your local bookshops, or even support your local library. Get that book and read it. Then we will have a new feature which will appear regularly in our podcast, which will be the Crystal Focus. And this episode will be focusing on citrine, the metaphysical properties and spiritual properties of the tumbled stone that I have with me here. Then we have an announcement on the establishment of the Northern Ireland UFO Society. A couple of things to get out of the way there, and then we'll have meditation, finishing off with a Triple Gem meditation, which comes from the Buddhist teachings and tradition. And that's basically what we're going to cover in this next hour or so. And we'll get stuck straight in to the alternative news in brief. And starting us off is UK patients starved to death. As many as 1,165 patients starved to death in NHS hospitals over the past 4 years, according to a Freedom of Information request. In 2011, 43 patients died by starvation and 291 of severe malnutrition. The number discharged suffering malnutrition doubled to 5,558. Officials claim that nurses are just too busy to feed patients. So much for a duty of care when you're a nurse. Remembering never to be sick and need hospital assistance. That's rather shocking, that is. Moving on, Hive Mind Brain Power navigates spaceships. Two people have successfully steered a virtual spaceship by combining their power of thought, which has proven to be more accurate than that of a lone person. It's hoped that one day that large groups of people could be linked to brain-computer interfaces to work together to control robotic and telepresence systems on Earth and in space. This technique will compensate for an individual's lapse in attention and concentration. And the source there can be found at newscientist.com. Also heralding out of newscientist.com, father of all men, supposedly 340,000 years old. DNA study has revealed that the oldest known common male ancestor is almost 340,000 years old, more than twice as old as first previously theorised. The discovery comes after African-American Albert Perry died and a sample of his DNA was sent to Family Tree DNA by a relative for analysis. Perry carried a Y chromosome so distinctive that it possibly reveals the origins of his species. The findings were published in the American Journal of Human Genetics. And over the page we have the US Air Force are at it again. They're currently developing microdrones that will fly in swarms and have all the characteristics of insects to sneak up on targets and deliver a dose of lethal poison. The drones will work together to build a detailed view of the battlefield and single out individual targets. Warfare's just got scary. And lastly for this episode, US government grants itself the authority to spy on Europeans. I'm being careful here not to use citizens because of my views on the European Union. I think it's wrong. I'll not get into it this episode, might not have time. But according to a report produced for the European Parliament, we're warned that a US spy law renewed late last year authorises, in quotes, purely political surveillance on foreigners' data, if it is stored using US cloud services. Now, as if the Patriot Act wasn't enough cause for concern, this new law, the Foreign Intelligence and Surveillance Amendments Act, or FISA Act, poses a greater risk to EU data sovereignty. And you can read more about this at slate.com. And that really concludes the alternative news. And we get stuck straight into our next topic here, is the solar system collision. Now, rumour has been circulating the net of a mini solar system on course to collide with ours, after a video made an appearance on YouTube. The video is of audio of astrophysicist Jim McKenney. And from what I've been able to pull up on him, he really doesn't have the best track record and things like this. But upon further investigation, this video, which was released in February this year, is actually audio that was released in 2004. And that's almost 10 years ago. He is known despite a bit of doom and gloom, which, judging by a comment on his website, and if I can pull it up here, he intends to profit from it. And he says, quote, "Imagine the USA with riots in city streets and no Batman to save you. It's coming. The things you are going to need are on my sales page." So he does sort of hint that he's looking to profit from all his prophecies of doom and gloom. And that usually, to me, sort of discredits people. They're really in it for the money and not in it to save people. I mean, if the world is coming to an end and society is going to, you know, the collapse of the economic system, what use is money going to be to him? It sort of raises a few questions there. But however, Jim has since spoke out about this video, claiming that it's a hoax, and that he's going to campaign for it to be pulled. he put a statement on his website saying, and I quote, if I can just bring that up here again, quote, February the 27th, 2013, posting emergency announcement disinformation update, the disinfo crew is at it again. At least two YouTube postings are trying to impersonate me and pass false information. There are at least two YouTube videos posted recently by nameless disinformation agents placing my voice, making it look like I am saying that a Planet X object is coming into the solar system at this time. This is not true. I am not saying any such thing, and this is why I never post on YouTube or any other medium except my own webpage. What they have done is chop segments of a 2004 program of mine and posted a February 2013 date on the face and posted on YouTube under two different names, making it sound like I'm stating a Planet X object is now entering the solar system. Then in the listener comments, they, of course, post many slams trying to make me look like a nutcase and making false predictions of Planet X. I'm currently working with YouTube to have these postings removed. So in short, at the moment, there's really nothing to panic about, and it was just a hoax. And as I said, there wasn't really much to come up on that, to speak about on it. And I think we can pretty much leave it there. Myth busted, unfortunately, to the trolls on Tinternet. So we'll go on to the next one. Let's have an update of the current solar and Earth events. And central parts of central and western parts of the United States are in a state of drought. Centralized parts seem to be more extreme. A nuclear reactor has been shut down in Waterburg in Connecticut, the reason of which is still to be identified. Also, a meteorite strikes a house just north of the nuclear reactor in Connecticut. What else have we got? We've got the Marshall Islands are also in a state of drought. Apparently Australia has sent aid. Houses and crops destroyed by severe hail storms in India. There are no reported casualties at the moment, which I suppose is a good thing. No news is good news, as they say sometimes. And let's just take a look here. The solar wind activity is normal. There's currently no sunspots facing us, but a gigantic one could be turning our way in the next few days. And if it decides to erupt when it's facing us, that could be the kill shot they're talking about. Not meaning to spout doom and gloom, but we've also got the theory that any time that a massive sunspot faces the Earth somehow makes it decay, stops it from hitting us with solar flares coming from the sun. And that really concludes all the updates for this episode, and we can get in now to the nitty gritty stuff. And we're going to start with the Boston Bombs conspiracy. Was it a false flag? I don't know. We'll touch on the evidence and see. But on the 15th of April in 2013, Boston's annual marathon was attacked just as the competitors reached the finish line. The official government story is that it was a terrorist attack by two brothers from Chechnya who were followers of the Islamic faith, and after having been on the internet and exposed to Al-Qaeda propaganda, which we know Al-Qaeda doesn't exist, they become radical and decided that they wanted to attack the states. But thanks to alert truth seekers on the internet and the internet itself, massive holes appeared in the government's official story. And because of the internet, information on the offence rocketed around the world. There's so much out there, which helps expose this as a false flag event. But first of all, what is a false flag event? Well, a false flag, according to Wikipedia, is described, and it's described pretty well, as a covert military or paramilitary operation designed to deceive in such a way that the operations appear as though they're being carried out by other enemies, groups, or nations. It then therefore musters support to attack or go to war with the nation or enemy that's being framed. And an example of which, though it wasn't executed and wasn't signed into law, is Operation Northwoods. And anybody who into conspiracy theories and what have you will know what Operation Northwoods is. Go onto Wikipedia and check it out. I'll just call out the first few things here on it. Operation Northwoods was a series of false flag proposals that originated within the United States government in 1962, but were rejected by the Kennedy administration. The proposals call for the Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA, or other operatives to commit perceived acts of terrorism in the United States cities and elsewhere. These acts of terrorism were to be blamed on Cuba in order to create public support for a war against that nation, which had recently become a communist under Fidel Castro. One part of Operation Northwoods was to develop a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area, and other Florida cities as well, and even in Washington. And Operation Northwoods proposals included hijackings and bombings, followed by the introduction of phony evidence that would implicate the Cuban government. And it stated, quote, "The desired resultant from the execution of this plan would be to place the United States in its apparent position of suffering defensible grievances from a rash and irresponsible government of Cuba, and to develop an international image of a Cuban threat to peace in the Western Hemisphere." And if I scroll down the page just a wee bit here, we can come up with some of the examples that they have in this false flag attack. They were looking to start rumours, rumours of war, using the clandestine radio. Land-friendly Cubans in uniform over the fence to stage attacks on a military base, capture Cuban or in brackets friendly saboteurs inside the base, start riots near the base's main gate, blow up ammunition inside the base and start fires, burn aircraft on airbase, sabotage, lob mortar shells from outside of the base into the base, some damaged installations, capture assault teams, capture a militia group which storms the base, sabotage a ship in the harbour, start large fires, sink a ship near harbour entrance, conduct funerals of mock victims, maybe in lieu of 10. And it goes on even more. It talks about the proposed hijacking of civilian craft and taking it down below radar range, and then flying an unmarked plane up into the sky, a radio-controlled unmarked plane up into the sky in place of it, and crashing, and therefore killing all the, or making it look as if all the civilians on board had been killed. So, you know, it's important to note that, it's proven that the US government does attack its citizens, and has done for years, even as far back to the Civil War, and they still use it today. So, that raises the question, is it possible that the Boston bombings was a false flag? Well, let's weigh up the evidence here. Let's get to the grassroots here. The eyewitness accounts. Several people reported that government agents and authorities were present. Those range from spotters on the roof, explosives, sniffer dogs, government agents claiming over loudspeakers not to worry and that it was a training exercise. And the accounts from several people that there was unusually heavy security at that marathon. And I think we've got that up here. And let's just listen into that. Let's just take a listen.
At the start line this morning, they had bomb spotters on the roof of the buildings, and they had bomb sniffing dogs coming up and down at the start line. And Melanie said there was bomb sniffing dogs at the finish line, making announcements saying to the participants, "Do not worry. This is just a training exercise." Evidently, I don't believe they were just having a training exercise. I think they must have known, they must have had some kind of threat or suspicion called in. And I've run in some of the biggest marathons in the world. I've run in London, in the Washington, D.C. one, Chicago, and I've never seen anything like that before, a marathon.
So as the guy said, he's been to marathons all over the world. He's been even in the United States, and security was nowhere near as heavy in the major cities as it was in Boston. So that sort of raises a few eyebrows here and a few questions as well. But we'll move on. Pictures have surfaced on the internet showing guys in similar plain clothing to each other, almost like US Navy SEALs off-duty uniforms. Those same people, as shown in the pictures, were seen to be beside the blast zones prior to the explosions. Then after the explosions took place, they were at the other side of the street and talking and working with the police. Now, at first, when truthers started investigating this, some thought it was the US Navy SEALs. But further research indicates that it was a private security company called Kraft International. The uniforms closely resemble that of the US Navy SEALs, but with a difference. The personnel had the paramilitary's logo, a distinctive skull. However, US authorities and government deny that any such people were on the scene. Bomb drills were taking place repeatedly throughout the day in the exact location of the incident. It seemed that the US government and authorities deny this, despite numerous witnesses saying that authorities announced over speakers that the public were not to worry, that it was just a training exercise. Even the FBI refused to acknowledge that, and there's a video that's appeared up on YouTube of an FBI press conference looking info on suspects, as she was a journalist's question being ignored. And let's just have a listen into that as well.
Why are you denying that there was bomb drills Monday morning? We got photographs on Infowars.com, folks, of contracts.
Next question, please. Next question, please. Yes. Yes.
It's a bit unusual and rude, to be honest, but obviously that's something he just doesn't wish to talk about, and something the MSM won't print, the mainstream media. The agent later goes on to reveal pictures of the suspects, telling the world only to focus on these pictures and to debunk and ignore all other pictures that may surface on the internet. And I think we'll have a listen to that too. Let's just listen in.
For clarity, these images should be the only ones, and I emphasize the only ones, that the public should view to assist us. Other photos should not be deemed credible, and they unnecessarily divert the public's attention in the wrong direction and create undue work for vital law enforcement resources.
So it's worth noting that the FBI refused to release any other pictures or footage, logically, in order to prove that it was them. They should show them at the scene and leaving the bomb there. But having other footage examined by the public would throw a spanner in the works of the government and their agenda, and show that the paramilitary guys left bags at the scene and held strange devices. This is the truth that they don't want you to know. I mean, pictures have surfaced all over the internet of these guys walking about in their like desert coloured trousers and their caps. One is showed one of these guys dressed like that, they're crouching down in a doorway. One was of a guy holding some sort of strange device. Some people suggest that it was a detonator to detonate the bomb that was left there, or the bombs that were left there. There's a few things they don't want you to see, and the FBI agent has clearly stated that he doesn't want you looking at that, only focus on these pictures that he's shown. If you want to take a look, go to YouTube and type in, let's think, FBI agent ignores journalist questions, Boston bombing, something you got, it'll take you to the right video, I would think. So I have a few important points to make. First of all, it's worth noting that nearly all major terrorist attacks from the 11th of September onwards had authorities and emergency services executing a drill to train for a terrorist attack. And especially in London, the London bombings, they had doctors and emergency services out training and doing a drill for that exact same scenario, that London was under a terrorist attack and buses and etc. were being bombed. Second, if they had a tip-off of an impending attack, why not evacuate the scene and reroute the finish for the marathon? And third, why was a paramilitary there? Why did they need a paramilitary presence? Surely the United States and the Boston Police Service, and even, I suppose, if you want, the National Guard, which, that's a bit extreme, but surely the Boston Police Service has got enough resources to be able to deal with a threat like that, or if there was supposed to be, let's say, a bomb attack, why would you need a paramilitary there to deal with it? That's something that the proper government authorities should deal with, right? Lastly, media outlets and publications around the world condemned these two men before they were even questioned, branding them the killers, the Boston bombers, the terrorists. And that just has all the hallmarks of a classic PSYOPs campaign. I go into my local stores and I see newspapers like The Sun and The Daily Mail and all the other tabloids and what have you, branding these men before they even have a chance to stand trial, before they were even questioned, branding them that they're the actual people that carried out these atrocities. It just does not make sense, and so much for innocent until proven guilty, which these men quite clearly weren't proven guilty by that stage. But let's just back up a wee bit. Let's just go back up a wee bit. Stand back and examine it a wee bit more. Who are Kraft International? Well, I can pull up the website here, and the first thing I see, or one of the first things I see, is their logo. And their logo is anybody who's into their symbology and secret societies and what have you, this will be juicy for them. It says, their slogan says on their website, "Despite what your mama told you, violence does solve problems." And that's rather cold and sinister. I don't like that at all, because in actual truth, despite what they tell you, violence does not solve problems. It creates more. It starts a chain reaction. You've got karma. You've got the laws of cause and effect in existence in this universe. And violence does not solve problems. It creates more than enough. In order to solve problems, you need to have inner peace. You need to focus on peace with yourself. And then once you have that inner peace and come to peace with yourself, then you can reflect that outwards and radiate peace towards other people. And if people around the world engaged in the practice of inner peace, the world would be a much happier place. The logo is that of the distinctive skull. You know, it shows death, and some, it's used quite a lot in the Freemasons, and some even say the Illuminati. But we've got also the Knights Templar crosshair, or the Knights Templar cross, over the right eye. Now, the website says it claims that it's to commemorate the death of a Navy SEAL person who died when he was shot in the eye. But why use a Templar cross? You know, Knights Templar is a secret society that's still in existence today. It's a branch of the Illuminati, according to some of my research. Why have that there? And that leaves the left eye exposed, the classic all-seeing eye of the Illuminati. So I'm sure there's probably more symbology there, but I can't see it at the moment. I haven't really dug down into it. But if we go to about Kraft, it doesn't really tell you much about Kraft, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a thank you for choosing Kraft International and what have you. But it turns out that Kraft was set up by Chris Kyle, who is self-styled president of Kraft International. Rather than about Kraft, it gives you about Chris Kyle, and he's got a rather impressive resume, as the Americans call it, or us in the UK call it, a CV, curriculum vitae. And he goes on to say about himself, Chief Chris Kyle, US Navy honourably discharged in 2009, is one of the top snipers in the history of the American Armed Forces. Now that is something to brag about, isn't it really? Like, yeah, makes him sound tough, doesn't it? But from 1989 to 2009, he recorded the most career sniper kills in United States military history. Iraqi insurgents feared Chief Kyle so much that they named him Al-Shahatan, I think that's how you pronounce it, or the Devil, and placed a bounty on his head. Now, surely somebody who was a US Navy SEAL, particularly a sniper within such an elite and secretive unit, wouldn't be so well known to his enemy. And surely he wouldn't come out and reveal his identity, especially of the nature of his work, and brag about all these things. But he goes on to say that he has extensive combat experiences, including sniping, close quarters, battle, reconnaissance, long-range desert patrols, personal security, and the training for foreign allies. In addition to working and training with the elite Navy SEALs, Chief Kyle has also served with units from the Army, Marine Corps, and other government agencies. This man has a really... it's almost like what we would call a Walter experience. This man who he's probably started life off as a nerd or something, you know, done nothing much with his life, decides that he's going to give himself quite an impressive CV. I'm not saying that he wasn't in the forces, but come on, that's a wee bit... Somebody who's done that there, I don't think they'd be bragging about it, and usually people who've gone to war don't really talk about things like that. So yeah, you know, something doesn't quite add up with him. He goes on to say he's served four combat tours in Operation Iraqi Freedom and elsewhere, and that he's been adorned with medals and what have you for his achievements and stuff like that there. I could believe that, because in the United States military, you're awarded medals for almost every goddamn thing, you know, setting foot on European soil, crossing European airspace. There's medals for that. Like, I mean, nothing really monumental or spectacular, but you get a medal for it anyway. At least our forces, you have to earn it. So, not having a dig at the Americans there, just pointing out some truth again. So we've been able to pin these friendly guys, Kraft International, to the scene, and established why they're styled after the US Navy SEALs, because this man apparently used to be US Navy SEALs and was the best US Navy SEAL ever, the best soldier in, you know, American history. I personally don't know why they were there. I haven't got that far yet into my research, but we simply just don't have the time to go into it anyway. As of the suspects, the official story there was one killed during the shootout, and another shot in the mouth, and supposedly escaped and what have you. But almost immediately, truthers tore holes into this story, and footage shows the brother who was supposedly killed being led away in handcuffs, naked, and put into the back of a waiting police car. However, images supposedly leaked from a morgue after his arrest, when he was in custody, showed that he was brutally tortured and injured. His body is totally mutilated. He died in police custody, and judging by the picture, he went through one hell of a beating. He went through quite a lot before he died, and that's another truth that they don't want you to know. And I don't know how any human being can be so cruel to another human being and make them suffer. It's disgusting. And I think the police officers, even the police force, the Boston Police Department, should be held to account for that, and should be made to face justice and answer questions as to why he actually died in police custody and not at the scene of the shootout. Like was stated. The other brother remains in custody at the moment. Both brothers were denied rights to an attorney. They had no rights to prove innocence, and they had no Miranda's rights, according to the article here, which doesn't surprise me if they're being used as a scapegoat. Footage of the shootout can be found online where the brothers cry out, "It wasn't us," and "We're not the guys you're looking for," etc. And judging by the shootout and them speaking, there doesn't seem to be much gunfire coming from their end. It all seems to be coming from the police and the armed units of the government. The Boston bomb conspiracy, so in-depth. I really haven't got time to go everywhere. I'd like to go with it, and there's just so many paths and fork roads and crossroads in this theory. But seriously, take a look for yourself. I mean, you never know what you'll find out yourself. There's not much point in taking my word for it. Get out there and actually do the research yourself. It's rather chilling, to be honest. So we'll move on. So if this was a false flag attack, what were the possible motives? To be honest, I really don't know for sure, but there is some possible motives out there, possible reasons that which appeared on the internet, which truthers on the internet have suggested, and that is to gain control of internet communications and other forms of communications. The official story claims that the two brothers were brainwashed by Islamic propaganda, as I said just a handful of minutes ago, on the internet, and instructions to make the bombs were downloaded from a site linked to Al-Qaeda. But we know Al-Qaeda doesn't exist, as I've already said. And what we do know about that while the media were fixated on the bombings and the disaster in Texas, Congress passed the controversial CISPA Act. It has now, you know, passed the Senate, but if it does pass the Senate, then the US government has the power to censor anything it wants from the internet. American-based websites, if they don't like the content of it, they shut it down. If there's something that they don't want American citizens to see, they shut it down, they take it down off the internet. It's like a firewall. It's like the Great Firewall of China, you know. It's controlled information. So much for your Bill of Rights and the Constitution in the United States, where you have the right to freedom, free speech, freedom of information, freedom to bear arms, etc. And freedom to bear arms, that actually reminds me, that's another motive that could be possibly the reason why this could be a false flag attack, because as we know at the moment, President Obama is trying his utmost to bring in gun control restrictions, and it will get to the point eventually where he'll just grab the guns off the citizens. And we've got to look at history. History repeats itself, where Chairman Mao, Hitler, Stalin, other dictators around the world disarmed their citizens before they committed their mass acts of genocide and implemented their style of dictatorship. And we all know that Obama has signed so many executive orders, more than any other president in US history, to get things done that he wants to be done without having to go through the Senate and the Congress, etc. I'm not too sure how American politics work, but that to me sounds like a bit like a dictatorship and not the freedoms that were promised to the Americans when their founding fathers established their country. But what I do know is that something is a little fishy about these attacks in Boston, and what is the US government hiding? Now, I fear we won't find out unless a proper investigation takes place. And judging on time, I think we'll have to leave it on this topic, because there's a couple more things need to get out of the way. We've already stretched over half an hour. But I encourage you to do your own research and investigations. I mean, it's time that we, citizens of Earth, hold our leaders to account and take back our own sovereignty. It's time that we put our foot down and tell our leaders that they're working for us. They're not working, you know, we're not working for them. We're supposed to elect them, even though we know elections are sham and controlled. But we're the ones that are supposed to put them in office to work for us, in order to represent us, and not the other way about. We're not slaves to our government, and we shouldn't be. I will campaign strongly against that, and I encourage everybody to take back your own sovereignty. You're your own person. You're your own free spirit. And whenever you realise that, you'll want to grab back your sovereignty. And it's one of the most amazing things ever, when you come to the realisation that you are a free spirit. And you're here having a human experience. You're not a human having a spiritual experience. You're a spirit having a human experience. And we'll leave it at that in regards to the Boston bombs. So yeah, quite a lot of mind-blowing stuff there. And get onto the internet and do your own research. You'll find things that I haven't come across yet. But no, it's worth knowing the truth. truth. Truth is the ultimate weapon at the end of the day. Now, on to something a little bit happier and more positive. Our book review this episode is of UFOs and the Extraterrestrial Message by Richard Lawrence, who I'm pleased to say has agreed to make an appearance on our podcast in August. That is our special guest, and something I'm very excited about, and it really does promise to be a great podcast. He wrote the book, he's wrote many books, and he's got quite an impressive CV. He's got quite a lot of good credentials. He's currently a bishop in the Aetherius Society, which was founded by Dr. George King after he was visited by interdimensional extraterrestrials, one in particular named Aetherius. Not only is Richard Lawrence a bishop in the Aetherius Society, but he's also the executive secretary in Europe, of the European branch of the Aetherius Society, and he's well travelled around the world. He's appeared in many TV shows, he's wrote many articles for newspapers and magazines, he's attended conferences, and obviously, as we're talking about now, he's wrote a handful of books. And one in particular, I've only got to read one of his books, and it really does encourage me to read the rest that he's got out there. But the one that I'm particularly fascinated about is one of the best books I've ever read, to be honest. UFOs and the Extraterrestrial Message. Now, it's not like any other UFO book where somebody goes onto the internet and compiles all the classic cases and fares them into one book and then gives maybe their a short opinion at the end of the book. I mean, you've got so many UFO books like that, and we've read them all before. But Richard, he takes a different approach to ufology. He looks more on the spiritual side. As you know, he's a member of the Aetherius Society, and he's been so from the 1970s, I think it was. If I just pull up his website here, richardlawrence.co.uk, check it out, and I think you could probably buy the book from the website. He discovered the Aetherius Society in 1971 while he was a student at Hull University, and it answered many of the questions that he was searching answers for. And he met the Society's founder and president, Dr. George King, who was an outstanding teacher and master of yoga and a channel for advanced beings from this world and beyond. And I also recommend that you check out the aetheriussociety.org and you'll get a wee bit more in-depth energy. But Richard himself, he was born in 1953, then he met and became a student of Master of Yoga, Dr. George King. He became qualified as a school teacher in 1975, and he's got a lot more credentials there. But he wrote the book and had it published, UFOs and Extraterrestrial Message, in 2010, he published that book. And in the book, he goes on to say that the extraterrestrials, though the mainstream media seem to try to portray extraterrestrials, and even the movies try to portray them as hostile, hostile aliens on a conquest to take over Earth and wipe out humanity, etc. He pitches, what I agree is the truth. He covers flying saucers and close encounters, X-Files, cover-ups and downright lies, extraterrestrial beings and ancient records and religions, life in a multidimensional universe, and the mediumship of contactee Dr. George King, who was known as the primary terrestrial mental channel. This is a book I really do highly recommend, and I really don't want to give too much away. Of course, at the start of the book, he comes up with some of the classic cases, but you have to. And then he digs a little bit back into history and highlights that, being visited by extraterrestrials is not a modern day thing. It's not something that started in the 1920s and 30s. It's not something that started whenever Kenneth Arnold first coined the term flying saucers. whenever he saw it flying in his plane, he goes on to suggest and offers proof that they've been visiting our Earth continuously for many thousands of years, and that they're not here to take us over, but they're here to bring a message of peace and to try and bring enlightenment to the Earth. There's a few things in this book he's also pointed out that I haven't heard before in my experience of ufology, where missile silos in the Soviet Union at the time and the United States were shut down by these mysterious craft that shone down crimson pink lights over the missile silo and just totally shut the system down. He also goes on to say that a pilot, a US Air Force pilot in Tehran, way back in the 80s, I think it was dispatched, was scrambled to see this strange object in the sky, and once it got within weapons range, the whole weapon system just shut down. You know, and he goes on to say that that's proof that even though these extraterrestrials have the technology to get here, they're bound to have the technology to totally obliterate that aircraft if they wanted to, but they didn't. They took the middle way, the most logical way, and shut down his weapon systems, and therefore stopping any loss of life on both sides. And once the pilot turned to go back, just as he left missile range, missile lock range, he got all power back to his missile sensors. Really is a fascinating book, and it's a book that I haven't, from I got it and read it, I wasn't able to put it down. It's just a fascinating read, and I suggest you get out there and you know, get that book and read it. It's as I've said, it's one of the best books I've ever read. I would give it a 5 out of 5, to be honest. You know, I'm not exaggerating when I say it's one of the best books. It really is food for thought. It really does give you a different perspective on ufology, etc. So that's basically what I've got to say without going too much into it. You can buy that book, UFOs and Extraterrestrial Message, for £9.99, postage free, off Richard Lawrence's website. And go to www.richardlawrence.co.uk/ufos.html and scroll down just above midway down the page, and you'll find a video of Richard Lawrence talking about the book, and you've got the order button to buy it straight off his website. And we'll move on now to the crystal of the month, a yellowy variety of quartz crystal, citrine. Many legends and myths surrounding this crystal. You know, legend has it that it holds pure sunlight. It's also claimed that it doesn't hold any negative energy, and there's a lot of spiritual and metaphysical properties for that, because it doesn't hold any negative energy. It's great for dispelling negative energy, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But we've also got more legends coming up that claim that it was used in Atlantis to transmit solar healing energy. I guess that's where the claim that it holds pure sunlight, or the energy of pure sunlight, to heal people's ailments. It's yellow in appearance and translucent, and if you hold it up to the sky on a bright day, it actually does look like the colour of the rays of the sun. Don't hold it to the sun, and they got it, you know, that's dangerous, obviously. Because it doesn't hold any negative energy, the crystal doesn't require any cleansing, and that's one of the good things about it. You don't have to do rituals, you don't have to, you know, light some sage and, you know, put some sage smoke around it. You don't have to hold it under running water. It doesn't require to be cleansed because it doesn't hold any negative energy. But in order to give it a boost of energy, they recommend leaving it in the sunlight for a few hours. That's what I recommend too. First thing in the morning, when the sunrise comes, whatever time of that is, whatever time of year, leave the crystal out for a few hours, and it'll be enough to give it a boost of energy. Although natural citrine is rare, pretty much, and much citrine on the market is actually treated amethyst or smoky quartz, which are heated to form a form of treated citrine. Go to your metaphysical stores, or even metaphysical stores online, and look for the natural citrine, and not some of the treated stuff. You can't beat the natural stuff, you know. But because it doesn't hold any negative energy, it brings happiness to the person who carries it, and it's perfect for depression, self-doubt, anger, emotional traumas, confidence, lack of confidence thereof, and therefore doesn't need to be cleansed of negative energies, as I've said. It aids in digestion and wards off nightmares, and is beneficial for general health, along with the heart, kidneys, liver, circulatory system, and several other aspects. Kidneys, and well, I've covered that and what have you. So I recommend this stone to anyone who's starting on their spiritual development, and I've got one here. It's a pretty stone to look at. If you're starting out, this is one of the great crystals to carry around with you for a while. Sleep with it under your pillow. It clears negative energy from the aura, thus useful for meditation, dream recall, and dream work if you're into that sort of stuff. Its properties also assist in the mental clarity, instilling confidence and willpower. It resonates with the third chakra, the solar plexus, so it supports bringing increased creativity and honesty. And that's basically what I've got down for that. You know, it's a fascinating crystal, and I carry it with me quite a lot, to be honest. But I mix and match sometimes, but for the past week or so I've been carrying the citrine with me. And I have to say, it has made a difference. It's given me self-confidence to do this podcast by myself. I think I've managed it quite well, if you don't mind me saying so myself. So yeah, you know, get it, try it, and see what you think. Post back results to me if you notice any difference. I'd be happy to hear about it, and we'll feature you in one of our podcasts. Now, we've got an announcement, going back to the UFO topic, the establishment of NIUFOS, or the Northern Ireland UFO Society, co-established by yours truly and Morton Mann UK. We realised that Northern Ireland didn't have, or lacked, its own dedicated UFO society, you know, a group to research and investigate sightings and other extraterrestrial related phenomena. And we're hoping, it's still early days for us, like, but we're hoping that we'll get a conference up and running in about October. You can follow our website, which is pretty basic at the moment, naufos.webs.com. We'll be buying a custom domain name soon, which will be naufos.org. But for now, you go to naufos.webs.com and check it out if you want. As I said, we'll be hoping to hold regular meetings, and we'll be hoping to hold a conference as well. but that's not to say that the Northern Ireland UFO Society is not open to membership for people who are outside of Northern Ireland. No, we're more than happy to accept anybody as members in around the UK, the Republic of Ireland, even America, if people want to join up and what have you. And of course, they're still free to come to the conferences if they want. We're currently working on that, and we're hoping to approach some quite well-known names in the field of ufology and have them at our first conference. I think it'll be great. And yeah, check us out. Go to our Facebook page, Northern Ireland UFO Society, and give us a like, and follow the updates that we post there. And that's pretty much that in regards to NIUFOS. And we'll go now for a meditation lesson. And this one, it heralds from the Buddhist teachings. It's called the Triple Gem Meditation. And what I want you to do, if you want to join in with me in this meditation, is to sit with your feet flat on the floor. If you're on the floor, if you prefer sitting on the floor, yes, please do sit down on the floor. And you can do this. You can do this anywhere, and you can do this pretty much at any time. You know, it's a simple meditation. It's designed to be quick and used almost anywhere. But for this purpose, for the purpose of this podcast and this meditation, if you just sit with your back straight, and your feet firmly on the floor and your hands in your lap, and close your eyes and just follow me, and we will begin the meditation. And first off, just take in one loading breath. We're going to take two loading breaths, but take one deep breath. So just exhale in through your nose and inhale through your nose and exhale through your mouth. So take one deep breath. And exhale. And again, inhale through your nose. And exhale. And just focus on your breathing for now and listen to me. This Triple J meditation incorporates the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And we breathe in the first syllable of each word, and then we exhale the second syllable. So we inhale, boo. So, boo. Exhale, da. Inhale, dar. Exhale, ma. Inhale, sang. Exhale, ga. And just breathe through your nose and out through your mouth. And again, inhale, boo. Exhale, da. Inhale, dar. Exhale, ma. Inhale, sang. Exhale, ga. And breathe through your nose again. And exhale through your mouth. And one more time, inhale, boo. Exhale, da. Inhale, dar. Exhale, ma. Inhale, sang. And exhale, ga. And take two more breaths. One breath in through your nose. And out through your mouth. Inhale. And exhale. And come back to your body, come back into the room, open your eyes, feel refreshed. Now this meditation can be incorporated into even the Christian faith. You can inhale Yahweh or Father, and you can do the Jesus, and you can do Spirit, etc. And that pretty much takes us just over an hour now because of the audio we were listening to. Thank you very much for being patient with me if you're still listening. And you know, this has been a great podcast, but as I say, I think it's better doing it with people other than myself. The next podcast we've got coming up, in episode number 5, we will be covering the GMO conspiracy, genetically modified crops and things like that we'll be talking about. We'll have solar activity updates, and we'll either talk about Bigfoot or holographic reality or even the Bermuda Triangle. There's a fellow we'd like to get on who knows an awful lot about Bigfoot. He studies it. And we're hoping to get him on the podcast. If not, then we'll either do holographic reality or the Bermuda Triangle. And then we'll crystal of the month, which will be Moonstone. It was my first crystal I got. And then we'll finish off with a meditation lesson. Anything else that we come up with at the time, we'll let you know in the next podcast. But thank you very much for listening and having the patience to bear with me, one person today. I made a few mistakes, but sure, I'm human at the end of the day, or a spirit having human experience. And experience means you make a few mistakes. If there's any such thing as mistakes, it's just a lesson. But anyway, as I said, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for your company. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes or Podomatic. And we will see you soon. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.